In your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Proverbs 31. And really, if we could just get into our minds and into our hearts, one verse, Proverbs 31:30. That'll be where our focus is today. All right, just real quick, by way of announcements, if you see these baskets, this is for the Pregnancy Care Center. We are collecting basic necessities for these babies, baby wipes, diapers, lotions, all of that good stuff. If you see these baskets, that's what they are for. There'll be one here, one there. And so we have a Pregnancy Care Center right across the street from Holmes High School. Ms. Roberta Ward is leading our ministry to them. I was in contact with the lady leading it, and they expressed a need. And we want to be a church that is partnering with them, doing a very important work, helping students in Northern Kentucky, helping ladies in Northern Kentucky. And so anything we can do to be a blessing, we want to be that. So bring in baby wipes, baby lotions, diapers, throw them in that basket, and let's see what God has for us in that matter. Amen? All right, and then while we're on announcements, we'll go through it. We have Grief Share Tuesday night. Ms. Debbie Fry leads the ministry. If you are interested, you can jump in on Tuesday nights downstairs. Grief Share, awesome ministry and walking through hard times. On Thursday nights, we have the ladies' Bible study, also downstairs from 6 to 7 for the month of May. You may have noticed some flowers and some bagels out there. That is for all of our ladies. It's also going to be for any of the girls. And so Dia will get a jar held by her dad so we don't break it in the parking lot to fill it up with flowers. And what we want to do today is encourage ladies to walk in the fear of the Lord. And actually, our job isn't not just to encourage, but actually to praise women who walk in the fear of the Lord. And so we've got to figure this out. If the church is not praising those ladies who are walking in the fear of the Lord, who will? So that is the call today. So let's read it. Proverbs 31. We'll start with verse 10 and we'll get through 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Start with verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts out her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let the works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Father, what an awesome word. Lord, I pray as a church we live this out. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I know Mother's Day is a mixed bag for everybody in the room. It's one of the toughest days for some, a very joyful day for others. And what I want to do in the moments we have together is to encourage ladies to walk in the fear of the Lord. Let that be your single focus for the rest of your days, however many God gives you. May your focus be on pleasing Jesus. And then we as a church, may we frequently and often and verbally and specifically praise these ladies. That's going to be the goal from this text. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It hits a little differently for me having four daughters. Because the opposite is what is crammed at my four daughters. They'll say beauty is to be praised, but the one who fears the Lord is to be disregarded. And you can see this. And as a matter of fact, fellas, you're going to be looking eventually for a spouse. And when you look, be careful what you look for. This verse will help you, this passage will help you find a lady that you actually want to be with the rest of your life. This is a very, very powerful text, and at the same time, there'll be guys sitting in there, well, my wife doesn't have anything to do with wool. She doesn't even know what flax is, and we'll miss the point. This is an acrostic, goes through the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters. That's why there's this number of verses, goes all the way through it, and he's just bragging on this woman. Now listen, I am not Shakespeare, but I know how to spell my wife's name, and I can come up with praiseworthy things in her life that go J-U-L-I-A-N-N-E. Right? I could do that for Ava, Balin, Camden, and Dia. It's not hard. The hard part is praising a woman who fears the Lord. All of you guys got flowers, right, in a little vase? Now listen, I'm also not a florist. I tried to cut it. The vases looked awesome online, and then we got them, and we found out that the cylinder at the top's a little tight. You could fit two roses in there without crushing them, so sorry about that, ladies. But those flowers will last maybe, if we're lucky, what, a week? Maybe, if we're lucky. That's about how long praise lasts. Maybe not even that long. It's easy to forget in this world the things that our ladies are doing. And so I'm going to be more specific at the end, but I have the privilege of the one with the microphone. All of the children, all of those who have moms, all of those who have ladies in it. So yesterday at the baseball game, our baseball team have different dynamics with their moms all over the place. Some moms are in their life, some aren't. But all of them have had ladies in their lives that have been motherly, cared for them, showed them unconditional love, encouraged them. And so I try to get them to be specific. Write a card. Do the best that you can using correct punctuation to spell it right. Best you can. But make sure they get it tomorrow. Right? All of us in the room can encourage ladies that have made a difference in our lives. And so let's do that today. Don't let today go by and waste that moment of opportunity. But then, don't think, oh, I did my duty, it's Mother's Day. Do it daily. Do it weekly. As often as you see something, say something. All right, so let's dig in. All right, so we talked about fear of the Lord, and Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so this is a charge for all of us in the room. We should be all walking in the fear of the Lord. And it's not that fear like I'm scared to death, although it could be. If you're not right with God, it should be. Like God is a terrifying God. The power in his hands, the glory of his might is a terrifying thing. But it's kind of like dad as a kid. Super strong. Could hurt me if he wanted to, but he didn't. Welcomed me in. That's the type of father, that's the type of fear we're talking about. As a matter of fact, fear of the Lord means relationship with God. Psalm 25:14 says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Or Psalm 33:18, behold, the high of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. Or Psalm 103:11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And then finally, Psalm 147:11, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his steadfast love. And so as we get into the characteristics of this lady in Proverbs 31, I want to make sure not to just breeze through this. To please God means to be right with God. And the only way we are right with God is not by working hard and not by doing good deeds. The only way we're right with God is because of what Jesus has done for us. And so if, ladies, if you want to walk in the fear of the Lord, please know Jesus, his son, who loved you, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, was buried, rose from the grave, ascended to the Father, and will return for his people. And you can have life in his name. That's where the fear of the Lord begins. The cross is the wisdom of God. So, a woman who fears the Lord. Let's dig in. Number one, woman who fears the Lord is a treasure. You see us in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find she is far more precious than jewels. You couldn't pay me enough to replace Julianne. There isn't. Nothing. I'd rather be poor than be without her. She is an unbelievable treasure to me and our girls. That's what you see. And why is that? Because she walks in the fear of the Lord. It is an awesome thing to see day in and day out. Number two, a woman who fears the Lord is to be trusted. Verses 11 and 12, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Now, listen, there's does him good and not harm. Some of you are thinking, uh-oh, not harm, right? Good, not harm. Here, this husband is praising her, saying, listen, my life is better because you're in it. Are there any ladies in your life where your life is better because they are in it? For your good and not your harm. And this could be your mom, this could be a grandma, this could be an aunt, this could be someone that has stepped into the gap, but does you good and not harm all the days of her life. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Like the reputation he has, isn't like, oh man, do you know his wife? It's, hey, she gets it done. He is lucky. That's a woman who walks in the fear of the Lord. I think this is interesting, talking about a husband's trust in his wife. Ray Ortland puts it this way. Her husband will have no lack of gain. The word translated gain is loot, plunder, spoils of war. Why that wording? That's an interesting wording, isn't it? Because life is a struggle. This woman is not living in perfect environment where life is a breeze. She is living in the real world, and she is up to the challenge. No wonder her husband trusts her. He feels honored to have to be her husband. This woman that God gave him is the greatest earthly treasure. In fact, there is only one person this husband trusts more than his wife, and that is Jesus Christ himself. She has won a deep place in his heart. She's an excellent wife, and her husband cherishes her. That is a woman who fears the Lord. Number three, a woman who fears the Lord is a worker. And this is all throughout the proverb. Verses 13 and 15, she seeks wool and flax, works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings in food from afar, rises while it's yet night, provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. You see this in verse 22, makes bed coverings and clothes. Again, in verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them, delivers sashes to merchants. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She understands that her Lord sees her. And I wonder how many times her children did not say thank you for the clothes that they were wearing. I wonder how many times her husband missed all of the things that she did behind the scenes. And then I started thinking, well, crud, I wonder how many times I've missed it. I wonder how many times our daughters have missed it. Isn't it easy to take someone for granted? This woman works hard. And now I want to put a word of warning in here, because I think work will look radically different for each lady. And sometimes it looks radically different with each season of life. So for some, working hard means working hard in the home. You got cleaning, ironing, sweeping, mopping, folding, and the list goes on and on and on and on. If God gifts you and graces you with being a stay-at-home mom, don't care what the world has to say about it. Don't care what others think about it. Honor the Lord. If God calls you into the workplace, work at it. And so we have teachers, we got people in the banking, we got people in nursing, we got people running businesses, ladies knocking it out in the workforce. Do it to the glory of God. We have work hard. I put this Ubering. For us, it's getting to soccer practice, getting to baseball games, performance, events, tracks, track meetings, volleyball, and the list goes on and on and on. Yesterday, just yesterday, Julianne had to go up in Ohio for a soccer game, get back, had to get to wherever for prom pictures. I forget where that was. It's about 15 minutes away. Thankfully, I was on DIA duty, so I didn't have to go take pictures of the prom, but Julianne had to run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, right? working hard, getting our kids to the right places at the right times, and then remembering to pick them up. Always a blessing. The hard work of raising kids. Tying shoes, changing diapers, praying, teaching, correcting. The relentlessness of raising kids. And then I put on the back end, we have several members that are working hard taking care of loved ones. And I thought, and this is my aunt has been single her whole life. And so I wonder how she feels on Mother's Day. But she has been a mother to many, serves in ministry, leads music at a church in Lexington. But I went and saw my grandpa this week, and I was getting ready to go. And he goes, oh, thankfully Robin's coming. I get a shower once a week, and I missed last Saturday. And so it's been about a week and a half, but she's going to come and help me. And what happens is he's gotten to the age where if he loses his balance, it's bad news in the shower. And so my aunt will come in and wash, and I was putting this, tying shoes, changing diapers, raising kids. I'm thinking, man, this is hard on both ends. And I just think the dignity and love of some of our members that take care of their parents, man, that's walking in the fear of the Lord. Awesome job. And then I'm hoping with four girls, one of the four would take care of me like that. They may say, no, Dad, got to go. We'll see. But a woman who fears the Lord gets after it because she knows nothing goes unnoticed, and the Lord will reward her faithfulness. And so this is also where, listen, God has spoiled me in this area, like for Mother's Day. Like the list of ladies in my life that walk in the fear of the Lord is numerous. And I'll mention two at the end, but when I think of working, my mom, it was me and my sister for a while. Life was good. Life was good. And then 8 years later, we had Sam and Andrew. I don't know what they were thinking. They didn't ask me. I didn't really give them my opinion, but it happened. Regrets. I'm just kidding. And so mom was teaching, I believe she was at Goodridge, and she had to make a decision, right? You either can make your teacher salary and pay bills and figure it out. And obviously dad's working, knocking stuff out. He's transitioning to running his own lawn care business, going from banking to lawn care. And I could only imagine how stressful it was, but I didn't know it. Life was good for me. I had everything I needed. Parents were present. Life was good. And then mom decides she's going to stay at home. And so when she stays at home, though, it's not sipping on cappuccinos. It was amazing what she did downstairs. Had the alphabet up all the way on the basement. Had my little brothers trying with a yardstick, point to the right letter, sound out the words. They're spelling young age. There's a reason why both of those two scored higher on their test than I did, right? Great teacher. Then she opened up a daycare, invited others in to help raise money. And then she would teach piano lessons on a weekly basis to help supplement income. She just got after it. Well, then the boys got old enough, went back to school. Then she said, all right, I'm going back. And then she was the principal at one of the largest elementary schools in Kentucky. And then she retires, kind of. Right? She loves to do long-term subs to help give. It's just an amazing thing. Like, this lady in Proverbs 31 has nothing on some ladies in my life. I could write her acrostic and make her feel bad too. Right? And I think all of us in the room could say that. We have been spoiled with women that love the Lord and are walking with Him. And we need to make sure we're praising them. So a woman who fears the Lord will work hard. They'll be a worker because they're working to the glory of God. Fourthly, a woman who fears the Lord will be wise. Proverbs starts off with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're trying to live life on your own, doing your own thing, your own way, that's not wise. It will not end well. But if you walk in the wisdom of the Lord, watch out. And it's available. You see this, Proverbs 31:16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. That's wisdom. Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I put Julianne here. Listen, her and Amazon are tight. They are good friends. And sometimes I just ask, there's a box on the porch, and what'll happen is she'll get home sometimes before me, sometimes not, but she'll send one of the girls to go grab it as if it didn't order and get there. Right? And so, but you want to know what's awesome? I have not had to buy shoes or clothes for my four girls. Julianne's been knocking it out. And you want to know what? That's not easy. I went dress shopping one time with Ava because I said I could do better. And then I went dress shopping, and then I found out I could not do better. Apparently, people don't believe in material anymore, and they don't put them on dresses. And so so we went through and looked, and we tried on and tried on. I'm like, nope, that's worse. Nope, that's worse. Nope, that's worse. All right, forget it. Forget it. I tried. Julianne, through Amazon, will look, find a great deal, get the right thing at the right time for the right girl, and then life goes on. Awesome. Awesome. Walks with wisdom. Number five, a woman who fears the Lord is strong. This is 17 and 19. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Now, she's up early, but she's also up late. Now, what's a distaff and what's a spindle? That means the wool that she got, she spins it into yarn. She's ready to make some clothes. This lady does not stop. She's strong. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. Or verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Now, here's my question. Ladies, if you're walking in your own strength, you will not laugh at the time to come. As a matter of fact, the time to come will make you very, very nervous and very, very scary. But if you know the Lord, who holds time in his hand, and you can trust him, you can have the strength to take the next step, even when that next step is very, very difficult. That's where her strength comes from. Number six, a woman who fears the Lord is caring. Proverbs 31:20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. It's not for herself, it is for others. It's an amazing, amazing woman in Proverbs 31. And so I want to just give you one biblical example of some ladies that walked in the fear of the Lord. We're going all the way back to Exodus chapter 1. And this will be quick. We'll get through this. Shiphrah and Puah are their names. Not very popular names today, but these are ladies who walked in the fear of the Lord, and you're about to see it. So this is going back to a time, the Israelites, you had Abraham who had a son, who had a son, who had a son. They populated, they had to move, there was famine. They went over to Egypt. Egypt put them into bondage, into slavery. And this is where we're reading. So the Israelites are in bondage to Egypt. Pharaoh is the baddest dude on the planet. And things aren't going too well for Pharaoh. So let's check in on this moment. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other one Puah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this? And let the male children live. The midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew strong. Now, you read it and you're like, what in the world? I want you to understand this. Fear dominates this passage. Everybody is afraid of something or someone. In Exodus 1:9, king of Egypt, behold, the people of Israel are too many and mighty for us. He is afraid of losing his power. The people that he's subjugating are becoming too strong, and he is afraid. Well, then you read in a couple verses later, 1:12, but the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So now you have a group of people afraid of a group of people. But the midwives are fearful too. If you remember verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded. And I think this is helpful from Kevin DeYoung. It's a little bit longer, but I want you to hang with me. Because I think this helps explain fear. Because I think we've got people all over life in this room. And some of you are like, well, I'm not afraid of nothing. You should be. You should definitely walk in fear of the Lord. And so I think this helps us understand what that means a little bit clearer. Everyone will fear something. Every human fears something. You fear some sort of loss. You fear what your parents think. You fear what your employer thinks. You fear what would happen without a job. You fear what will happen if you do the right thing. You fear what other students will say about you. Everyone fears something. Pharaoh was afraid of the Hebrews, but the midwives did not fear Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet. They knew one much more powerful was to be feared. There's always going to be something or someone in your life that you do not want to be on the wrong side of. Someone whom you revere, so respect, so honor, that above all else, you want to live a life of integrity before that person. That's what it means to fear. The Bible says if you want to be wise, walk in the fear of the Lord. If you want to live life the right way, it all starts with whom you will fear. When we fear God, it means the presence and the purposes of God weigh upon us more than the world. And all sorts of people profess to be Christians, but live as practical atheists, as if God does not exist, going about their days and lives as if God did not rest upon them. God resting lightly upon them and upon many churches. If you're walking in the fear of the Lord, every decision will be made to the glory of God. So I can give you a couple of examples. Whether you work or not shouldn't be based on somebody's opinion. Where you work shouldn't be based on someone's opinion. I'm going through possible transition right now. I could care less on what the world thinks I should do. I really care what God has for me, because I have to give an answer to Him. And now I'm trying to think with Julianne, who's considering all these other different things. She works at Connor Middle School, and you have all sorts of comments made on whether that's good or not. And what I do for Julianne, I just try to protect them. Like, who cares what people say? What does the Word say? Are you walking with the Spirit? Do you please the Lord? And you want to know what she's doing? She's making a difference at Connor Middle School, being a light in a dark place. And then I started thinking about Ava Balin and Camden. DS3. And obviously, I'm still praying for her. But that stage of life's a little different. But with Ava Balin and Camden, I know this. I know they will be praised for their looks and their ability. And all of that will be gone in 80 years. Right? They'll be at home with the Lord. But you want to know where it's really quiet in their lives? When they walk in the fear of the Lord. So Balin stands up for a kid that was getting bullied. Balin's not built like her dad. She's built like her mom. But she punches hard. So I wouldn't mess with Balin. But she was willing to risk being made fun of, being bullied herself, because she said, you know what, that's not going to happen. She's in eighth grade. That's a hard thing to do. Camden's in sixth grade, right? People will brag on her for athletic accomplishments, soccer, whatever. But you want to know where it gets quiet? When she's walking with the Lord. She's inviting tons of girls to church, as is Balin. And then I've got Ava, senior. And everybody will notice beauty. And that's not a bad thing. That's a very encouraging, especially to her, right? Girls love that. But do you know her heart for children? Going to children, child after child at an elementary school that were very, very difficult to work with. One that was out of control, that for whatever reason, God laid on Ava's heart to help finish up his school year. You know, it's an amazing thing as they walk in the fear of the Lord. I want to encourage that. All this other stuff fades. That's what that charm is deceitful, and beauty is what? Vain. It doesn't last. You can pump yourself up with whatever you want, but it's going to be gone. But walk in the fear of the Lord, that will have eternal ramifications. And so that's where I want us to be loud in our praise. There's another mom I found an example of, and I didn't know this, but Susanna Wesley was her name. She had two sons, John and Charles. They wrote a ton of hymns in our hymnals. She had 17 children, right? So this was her goal. She would pray 1 hour each day for her children. Now, not 1 hour each day for each child. But one, so honestly, if you think about it, what's the math? About 2.5 minutes? 17 children, whatever? So, all right, she prayed for some kids. All right, great. Well, then she spent 1 hour each week discussing spiritual matters with each child individually. Now, that's awesome. That's something I think we should all implement. What's God doing in your life? How's God using His Word to impact your life? What are some of your worries? Those discussions with children, awesome to have. So now, I don't know if I could do 1 hour with each child each week, but I think we could set that as a goal. She had 16 house rules. I'll just read some of them. All children are to be in bed by 8 p.m. Now listen, there wasn't electric. They didn't have lights on. It gets dark. All right, go to bed. All right. But teach a child to pray as soon as he can speak. I love that. That's a pretty good rule. Reward good behavior. Yes, absolutely. When you see it, reward it. Never allow a sinful act to go unpunished. Yes, don't sweep it under the rug. God didn't sweep our sin under the rug. As parents, we won't sweep sin of kids under the rug. Strictly observe all promises. And then there was one, and she goes, don't have your daughters work until they learn how to read well. And I thought, I love that. But I'm afraid with my girls, they'll act like they can't read. And then they'll say, Dad, you can't make me work yet. Just different rules that this mom had, 17 kids. But look at the emphasis she put on spiritual matters. So in our busy world, it's easy to forget about God. Don't. A woman who fears the Lord, that should be our goal for our ladies. And then to be praised. This is for everybody else in the room. At basketball games, sometimes you've heard the chant, "Why so quiet?" Isaiah, when does that chant happen? "Why so quiet?" You've never heard that chant? Oh, you're going to. Cuffcaff was the worst at it, right? We'd have a hot quarter and be tied with them at the end of it, and our fans would be talking trash to their fans. But by the end of the game, we're down by about 30, and our fans are no longer anywhere to be seen. It's just me as a coach and our boys on the bench, and we're thinking, well, this is awkward. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, student section sounds it up. "Why so quiet?" Well, the reason why it's so quiet is because there's nothing to cheer for. Now, that's fine at a basketball game, painful, but okay. It's deadly in a church. And I think many times our ladies could be saying, "Hey, why so quiet?" And we are without excuse. Because we have several women who are walking in the fear of the Lord. And you want to know what? They won't brag about it. As a matter of fact, I'm glad Julianne's in the nursery today because she'll get on me. Mom hates it when I use her as examples. Balin sometimes like it. She wants me to use her in more examples. But most of the ladies walking in the fear of the Lord, they don't like it. But you want to know why we should do it? One, it honors God. You guys know this. You know how good it feels when someone says something positive about a child you raised? Like, "Hey, Balin did awesome at school today. She did this." She got a positive email a couple weeks ago. And Julianne was just lit up. It's honoring to God when we praise women who walk in the fear of the Lord. But then, secondly, it actually encourages our women. And we live in a world that is hostile towards the things of God. And so we have to be very, very vocal for our ladies. You want to know why? Because it helps you encouraging to run the race. You want to know who's great at cheering? I learned this going to about 100 volleyball games this year. Middle school volleyball teams are great at cheering. It's after every point, they'll find something to cheer about. They hit it over the net, they cheer about it. The other team hits it out of bounds, they cheer about it. Coach calls timeout, they have a cheer for that. I mean, it's everything. You'll have a headache after the first game. Hopefully, you don't have a second one. We always did. But they would cheer, very vocal. We could learn from that. The flowers are going to die in a couple of days. That's about how long praise lasts. So make sure we are frequently praising our ladies who are walking in the fear of the Lord. And then be very specific. At our school, we do these things. They're called "You Rocks." And the staff can't stand it. Because it just takes more time. Now we're going to listen to so-and-so, say something about so-and-so. And they don't even know the person. But they got to pass this "You Rock" around. Don't praise the lady in your life, the moms, the daughters, the aunts, the grandmas, the church member that has cared and loved you in a way that does nothing for them. Or in a way that they can't hear. Maybe it's taking someone out for a lunch or a dinner. Might be getting something, a gift. It might be getting a card and writing. It might be trying to do an acrostic. Spell the name right, do the best you can. But figure out a way that means something to them and then give them praise. So I was going to add this with Julianne and my mom. Julianne, four girls, including one that is graduating high school. We had basketball seasons, soccer seasons, tumbling, track. She teaches at Connor. Three out of our four girls are in her class at Connor Middle School. She had to teach them for the whole school year. She enables me to be a pastor, a coach, and to teach. As a matter of fact, last night, her and Dia were up here setting up the flowers out there. They would have looked bad if they were not up because it would have been up to me. And some of you saw the arrangements I tried to do for you. Sorry about that. Not very talented. So she worked on that, got the chalkboard. I'm just thinking, man, this is Mother's Day, and you're up here late at night doing that. And I told you this. I could write something like Proverbs 31 to give her praise, walking in the fear of the Lord. And some of you husbands could do the same with your wife. I could also write that about my mom, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my sister. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have started this because I leave somebody off. A ton of ladies in my life that just walk in the fear of the Lord, spoiled. But you want to know what? It's not a completed action until praise gets back to them. And so my prayer for us in the room is that we fill up the ladies in our lives who are walking in the fear of the Lord. We fill up their lives with praise. Amen? Amen. Now, this is how we're going to close the service today. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to say two prayers. One is for the ladies in the room. I'm just going to pray for you that you walk in the fear of the Lord, because you will be tempted to walk in anything but the fear of the Lord. There is a battle raging. And the world will say, hey, be independent, be strong, and all this other things. We want you to be strong, but we want you to be strong in Jesus. All right? So we want you to walk in the fear of the Lord and then see what he has for you. And then the second thing I'm going to pray for is for all of us who have ladies in our lives, that God will show us ways that we can specifically praise them, not just today, but for the rest of our days. All right, and then we'll leave. That'll be our invitation and benediction. All right, so it's a little bit different. So I'll pray, and as I pray, I want you guys to do the hard work of praying also for those two things. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the ladies in the room. I thank you for the ladies serving this morning. Lord, right now I ask that you protect them, protect their minds and their hearts. Help them walk in the fear of you, knowing that you're an awesome God who loves them. I pray that the deciding factor in their life will be living to the glory of you. So, Father, I pray that they walk with Jesus day in and day out. I pray that you strengthen their hands to handle disappointments and joy, to handle heartache and love of life. I pray that you give them wisdom and how to raise kids and take care of parents. I pray that you fill their lives with joy, fill their homes with joy. I pray that you give them perseverance and endurance. And I pray that they set their faces to walking in fear of you. And then, Father, I pray that as a church, we are known for our encouragement and praise of those ladies who walk in the fear of you. Father, I pray that you give us wisdom. Pray that you give us discipline in our own lives to not just think about what we could do, but to actually follow through and do it. And praising these ladies that you have blessed us with, do not let us take them for granted. What an awesome God you are, and we thank you for great gifts of ladies who walk in the fear of you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.